Bibles to the book of Daniel. We'll be in the book of Daniel this morning.
James instead of Daniel.
That's where we'll be. Yeah. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And if you find it, once you do, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1, the Lord tells us, he says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams and of all kinds. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to understand it, Lord, by the power of your Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to use it, Lord. Use it in us, that we may be more like you. Lord, we can truly, in the sense of the word, be Christians, Lord, be Christ-like in every bit of our conduct, Lord, as you bid us in your word, in our thoughts, words, and deeds, truly to love you and worship you, Father. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We come here to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is one of my favorite books to read in the Bible. We come here to Daniel chapter 1, as we read, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. A sacred city, Jerusalem, was delivered into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And we read all throughout the Bible in the Old Testament, it tells us over and over again why that was the case. We may be familiar in Ezekiel chapter 39, he tells us, in verse 23, and the nations will know that the people of Israel went into exile for their sin, because they were unfaithful to me. So I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanness and offense, and I hid my face from them. What a sad thing. Children of Israel, we live in such a blessed place. They live there with God's presence in the temple there before them, we have an even greater privilege with God's temples, our bodies right here. Jesus Christ told us it's expedient that he should go away because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, should come. And he comes, as the New Testament teaches us, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But back then they had the physical temple. As we just read in Daniel, God gave them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He allowed him to take over Jerusalem. He allowed them to take them captive. It says there, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. He tells us elsewhere in the book of Jeremiah, this is the word that came, we're in chapter 7 of Jeremiah, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. It's from God Almighty. He says, stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. God gave Jeremiah this message to teach to them, to preach to them. He said, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in this deceptive word and say, this is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. They thought because God's temple was there and his Holy Spirit was in there, that nothing would ever happen in Jerusalem. Nobody would ever harm it. But the Bible tells us elsewhere, in the book of Ezekiel, when the Holy Spirit departed that temple because of the wickedness. Isaiah said, these people, God told children of Israel through Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus said the same thing. He quoted, he said, well said Isaiah of you, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from you. To that very day, we must be careful. That goes on to this very day, to truly love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to truly love him. Not just saying this is the temple of the Lord as I did back then. It says if you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow the other gods to your own harm, God knows what paganism, he knows what idolatry leads to, it's your own harm. That's what sin does, it harms you. God tells us, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not, he tells us not to do sin out of love for us. He says, it's to your own harm. Then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and to follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things. The children of Israel were living the most wicked lives they could. And then they'd come to the house of God and say, Lord, here we are. We're safe here. They thought because of God's Holy Spirit was in that temple that nothing could ever destroy Jerusalem. When the Spirit departed, Jerusalem fell. And it says God gave Jehoiakim and their kingdom into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Why is this? Because of what we're reading here. Because they refused to repent. What a sad day. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Go now to the place of Shiloh, where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it, because of the wickedness of my people Israel was destroyed. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called to you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do the house that bears my name. The temple you trust in, they trusted just in the bricks. They didn't trust in the Lord. It says there, the place I gave to you and your ancestors, I'll thrust you from my presence, just as I did to all your fellow Israelites, the people of Ephraim. What a sad thing. He called to them, and they did not answer. God's calling to this very day, but how many will answer? How many are answering? We have that choice to make. We ought to answer God every day. He's calling to us. He told the children of Israel, I called you, and you did not answer. He's calling to us. Today, he's calling them in Jesus' day. He's calling us, everybody, everywhere. Come unto me, Jesus says, all you that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wanted to give the people of Israel less rest, but they didn't listen. Didn't listen. They refused. They continually refused. What a sad thing. Help us, Lord. Back in Daniel, it told us, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. The place of Israel, which was supposed to be a place of holiness, a place to glorify God, a place that God has said, I set this place apart to worship, to have fellowship with me. It became a place of fraud. God told them elsewhere in one of the minor prophets, he says, I despise, I hate your prayers and your sacrifices. Well, that's a sad thing. Why is it? Because they didn't do it out of their heart. It was just lip service. What a sad thing. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with your whole heart. With the whole heart I shall worship the Lord my God, Psalms tells us. So what did the Lord do? After warning, prophet after prophet to the children of Israel, He gave them over to the Babylonians. He gave them over. This happens in nations to this very day. Look around us. We saw the list of the things that was going on in Israel that day. The list of the terrible, terrible things taking place. What did He say? If you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, that happens today in this very nation. And do not shed innocent blood in this place, happens today. If you do not follow other gods, your own harm, that happens today. All these things happening today. There, as Ecclesiastes says, there's truly nothing new under the sun. It happened in Jesus' day. It's happening to this very day. And God warned the children of Israel, and He warns us to this very day. He wants, what is His plans for us? Jeremiah tells us, the prophet Jeremiah. They're wonderful plans. They're plans to give us a better end, to take care of us and to guide us. We need to trust in Him. Isaiah says if it wasn't for a remnant, He would have wiped them out. Praise God. We read about part of that remnant here in the book of Daniel. One of the favorite people to read about is Daniel for his faithfulness that God allowed him to have. Faithfulness in every generation, the Bible tells us. In the midst of all these terrible things that was taking place, there were still people that served the Lord. In the midst of this nation that was supposed to worship the Lord, that was instead exchanging the truth of God for a lie, and it was instead worshiping idols and violence and wickedness. As we just look around here in our nation today, we'll see the very exact same thing. A nation turning away from the Lord into the ways of wickedness. But in the midst of that, what did Daniel do? He served the Lord. We can read about that here. It says, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He went from a place that was falling away from the Lord to a place that was totally pagan. We live in a pagan world to this day, very much pagan society sometimes. We can't look to the world around us for morality. We can't look to the world around us for what's right and what's wrong. We just look, go back 100 years. What did they say was right? Go back 100 years before them, it just switches every other day. Sifting sand of the world, but what God says is truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them with the truth, the Bible tells us. Help us, Lord. He says there, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. The Holy Spirit had done left that place. They just let him take it. These he carried off into the temple of his God in Babylonia. The children of Israel craved the pagan ways so much and wanted the wicked ways of the world. Well, they received it. It says it was put in the treasure of the house of his God. We read later in the book of Daniel about those things, and I encourage you to do so. But he tells us here in verse 3, the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. We notice here that all these children of Israel that got moved to Babylon in exile, got moved over there because of the nation's wickedness. Now in a totally pagan country, a place that does not know the Lord, that does not want to know the Lord so often. We can learn so much from Daniel, and these people stand on the word of God as we live in this world today, as we live down here below in this nation, how to be a witness, how to not follow the ways of the world, but stay on the word of God, stay faithful with Him. He's faithful. God will always be faithful. You can believe it. You can mark it down, and we ought to be faithful to Him. Help us, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. He says here, the king ordered Ashpenaz to do this thing and bring them from the royal family nobility. Bring some of the Israelites. In verse 4, it tells us, young man without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude in every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He's going to use them. He's going to bring them in and use them for his own means and his own kingdom. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians, teach them the pagan ways, teach them the ways of their world. He says here, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. The pagan feast that was often involved in worshiping false idols. They'd have all kinds of idolatrous worship as they were very cruel as they slaughtered the animals, as many do in the Middle East to this very day. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. They're going to try to take these people from Israelites and morph them, mold them into Babylonians. The world's going to want to do that to Christians this very day. He's wanting to do that The world's wanting to do that to you. The devil's wanting to do that to you. He's wanting to take you, instead of living as a holy, set apart. You know, the Israelites are a picture of the church today. Instead of living as one of God's people, God's chosen beloved, a holy priesthood of God, as Peter tells us, he's wanting to take you, the devil is, and mold you to be a Babylonian, to be like the Egyptians, to be a pagan, to live in the ways of the world. We have the choice to make how we're going to do it. It says they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. It gives them 3 whole years. The devil may not do it overnight, but he wants to seek to make you fall away. He wants you to serve him and serve the ways of the world. Mold your life like that potted clay. But God wants to mold us into glorious creation. Stay close to him. In verse 6, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. They're trying to give them new names. Get rid of their old Israelite names that honor God and give them pagan names. The devil wants to call you by a different name than you are. He wants to call you by the name of your sin, name of your wickedness that you were redeemed from. But that's thrown in the sea of God's forgetfulness when you repent. Live by what God says. It says the chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. These pagan names that were set apart for pagan worship. Praise God, if you'll go with me in verse 8. This is what we all need to do down here below. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. He resolved in his heart. His other translation, I believe it, King James says he purposed in his heart. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. We as Christians need to resolve that to this very day. We praise God we had the celebration for our wonderful children and youth today. As we go out in this world, many are going to the schools, and some will be graduating in a few years. Go out into this world. We've got a purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves. Everybody of all ages, purpose in our heart that we will live for the Lord, that we will love him truly. In this pagan world, just as Daniel did in that pagan world, there's all kinds of worship. It may not be as blatantly obvious as it was in Daniel's day. I hadn't saw any gold statues or burning incense too very often around here. That may come someday, but I didn't see any on my way up here. They're in other parts of the world. But there's just as many idols today as there was in Daniel's day. They may not be as obvious. Idols of money, idols of lust, idols of alcohol and drugs, idols of ambition. There's all kinds of false idols out there. Daniel resolved to not defile himself with what? With the royal food and wine, with the pagan ways. He said, I'm not going to be partaking in the pagan sacrifices. They'd take those, just as we read in Leviticus for the priestly class, the Levites, they would take part of the sacrifices was for theirs to eat in the temple of God, in the tabernacle. So too here in Daniel's day, in this pagan world, the food you'd eat in the royal court, it was part, when they'd go in there to worship the idols, it was part of the meal, was to worship false idols. He said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm not going to worship the gods of the Babylonians. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with that. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with wine. He said, he's not going to be drunk on that drug. He's not going to be part of that, as Revelation calls it, pharmakia. Lord, help us. It's so prevalent among the people of God so often, but God says stay away from it. No good will ever come from alcohol. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the pagan worship, nor with alcohol. It would do God's children good to do the very same every day. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Live holy lives for the Lord, he says here. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Notice here, we as God's people should be the most kind, most loving people to those without. This person here, this chief official, he clearly went right with the Lord. But Daniel, he didn't buck up on him. He wasn't mean. He wasn't rude. What did he say? He asked the chief official for permission. He resolved not to defile himself, and he trusted God would make a way for it, but he was very kind to the official. He wasn't rude to them. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And now God, because of his faithfulness, if you'll purpose in your heart that you'll follow the Lord, that you won't defile yourself with the ways of the world, God will make a way for you. It's always God's will for us to be holy. It's always God's will for us to be set apart for the Lord. He never wants us to sin, and he promises in his word that he will always give us a way out of sin. There may just be one way. So don't, when you've got the way before you, when you're falling in temptation, you've got the way out of sin, take it right then and there. Don't tarry. That may be the only way out. He didn't say, I promise you 10 ways out of that sin. I'll promise you one, he says. So go right through it right then. He gave Daniel that, and Daniel resolved to worship the Lord. He wouldn't be defiled. So God had caused the official to show favor. He gave him favor. He gave him that path, and praise God, Daniel took the opportunity not to sin. The official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Put it to a test. We can put it to a test in our lives. Which way is healthier for our physical bodies? The Bible tells us the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Which way is healthier for us? Living for the Lord or living for the devil and all of hell itself? The Bible tells us the wage of sin is death. Sin will kill you. He says here, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance to what you see. So he agreed to do this and test them for 10 days. Daniel stood on the word of God and stood faithful to the Lord. God made a path for it, and he made a way, and it served as a witness. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Stood on the word of God, stood on God's faithfulness, and God made a way. We too need to stand on the word of God every day. Stand in purpose in our heart that we won't defile ourselves. Make that decision. We got to make the decision every day. Not on some feeling that wavers here and there, but truly purposing in ourselves, our entire being, that we will live for the Lord. In the midst of this lost and dying world that's falling away, we need to stay closer to the Lord, closer and closer to him. Oh, it's even more evident. We hear about the things that's going on around this nation that's just getting worse and worse. The confusion, strange confusion, people not even knowing their own gender. It's so sad. It's digressing into more and more pagan ways. It's things we read about in history books that the Roman Empire partook of is become more popular in the United States. So it's perversions. God help us. We need to be prepared as the children of God to stand with the Word of God, with the truth in love, not hating anybody. God doesn't hate anybody, so neither should we. We should not show hatred. Daniel didn't show hatred to that pagan man. He showed him kindness. So too should we, as we stand firm on the Word of God, truth in love. At the end of the 10 days, it paid off, didn't it? In verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. God gave them understanding. He gave them favor. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Praise God. We each have a gift in common God. The Bible says there, without repentance. No matter if you've fallen away from the Lord and you're right back with him again, God didn't throw your calling away. It's without repentance. He's not going to go back on you. He wants to use you for his kingdom if you're right with him. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. He gave them that gift, the gift of prophecy. We each have a gift and calling of God that we'll examine another day. We've read before the list in the New Testament tells us about all the different things. God's got a job for me, for you, for each and every one of us in the kingdom of God. He's got us each a task to do. We need to be faithful in it. In verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his presence, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal. They were faithful to the Lord. So even in this vocation they were in, even in this job they were doing in the pagan country, he found none equal because they were faithful to God, to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom, not some, every matter, and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in this whole kingdom. Is what they had was the real deal. It wasn't some fake magician stuff. It was the real deal. It says, and Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Proceed about Daniel standing on the word of God. We too need to do this very same thing. God gave them favor. And if you read chapter 2, we won't go through this chapter. We're going to skip over it here. But chapter 2 talks about when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he told all the enchanters, all of them. He said, I need to know what this dream means. It's troubling me. I can't get any sleep. I have it. The pagan ones, the enchanters and the magicians They told him, well, tell us your dream. We'll give you what it means. He said, no, you'll just make it up. Paraphrasing here. He said, a person that can needs to tell me what the dream was and what it meant. None of them could do it. They said, this is impossible to the king. The enchanters and magicians did. He said, okay, I'm going to kill every one of you. He's going to wipe them out because they're worthless to him. When they heard about this, in verse 16, at this Daniel went in to the king and asked for a time that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for the mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised God of heaven and said, praise be the name of God forever and ever. And he this beautiful prayer that we don't have time to read this morning, but go back and read this wonderful passage. He stayed faithful. Even in the midst of life and death, he stayed faithful to the Lord. We need to stay faithful in this world no matter what. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now, but I know that God will be faithful. And we, too, should be faithful. Our last section in the book of Daniel we'll look at is Daniel chapter 3, if you'll flip over a page with me. It's one page in mine, it may be two in yours. In verse 1 of chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, as many of us are familiar. If you'll go back in chapter 2 to verse 48, the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him because he was faithful to the Lord. God allowed him these other places, allowing him to witness in his life. There's places Daniel could go and witness that the other three that we're about to read about could not witness. We need to stand firm on the Word of God where we are and trust in God where He's going to send us. There's places God's going to send you that other people can't witness to, that He's specifically sending you. Daniel was placed in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over an entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge over all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Daniel was at the court, there was in the province. In verse 1 of chapter 3, then King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 6 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the straps, prefects, governors, advisors, oh, everybody and their brother was coming, the treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. We probably won't see some gold image in the field somewhere, but we'll see many images in this world. Many, many idols of a spiritual nature we'll encounter when we're walking with the Lord. When we're seeking to serve him, you'll encounter many idols that many may bid you to worship. The devil himself will bid you to worship. They're hollow. As God told the children of Israel over and over, these things can't talk, they can't do anything for you. Why worship them? Worship the living God. He says he's magistrates and all other provincial officials to come. Remember, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was. He says there, so the straps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, he told them, nations and peoples, every language, this is what you're commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, as soon as you hear all of these instruments, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. That's the law. That's what's commanded to happen. That's the law there, the law of man, but not the law of God. And when they heard it, they bowed down. In verse 8, at that time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. He won't. They said that many times, but he won't. Only God does, and his children who are redeemed by him. He says here, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all other kind of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. Whoever doesn't do it will be thrown in the blazing furnace. But there, in verse 12, there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's furious because they were serving the Lord. He's furious because they wouldn't worship his image. People will be mad at us. Jesus said, look at how they treat me. He said, in this world you'll have persecutions. You'll have trials. You'll have tribulation. You'll have trouble. He promised us that. He didn't promise us a walk in sunshine and roses all the time. He said he'll always be with us. We can always have the joy, but there's going to be persecution sometimes for God's people, he said. He says, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Are you prepared? No matter what may come. In Canada, they just arrested a preacher that was trying to have church, dragged him through the street. We may think that's far away, but typically Canada and England, they're just, back throughout history, is about 10 years ahead of us culturally. It's getting thinner and thinner now as we read through history, where their culture is closer and closer to us. That's not far away. In Chattanooga, when some churches was having church last year, the mayor wrote them all tickets. That may be a small price to pay, a little ticket, but it's just the beginning. Till you're like Canada, dragging that preacher through the street. Or like in England, where they went in churches and arrested everybody. It may come to that someday here in this nation. It may come to that here today. Someday in this area. What are we going to do? Are we going to bow down to them? Or are we going to worship the Lord and trust in him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will make a straight and narrow way, the Bible tells us. Hallelujah. He says here, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is this true? He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up. Is it true? They could have lied about it and said, no, we bowed down. Saved a little bit. Turned away from the Lord. The devil probably told them it'd be real easy just to lie about it and just go about your merry way. He says here, now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zithers, lyre, harp, pipe, all these instruments, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. He'll give them a chance. He says here, what's he say next? But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately, not even give them a day like they do nowadays. No, immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Oh, the arrogance of man. What God will be able to rescue from my hand? He just thought he was the Lord, but he's not. Praise God. Here's their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He's able to. Isn't that amazing? The faith they told him. He's able to. We know he will. We know he can. He's able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you had set up. They said, we know that God can deliver us. Whether he will or not, we can't know. I don't know about the future. But whether or not we live or die, we're delivered from your hand because they're going on to heaven. They trusted the Lord enough. They put their trust in him above King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was the pride of the world, the pride of the devil. He was a mighty king in the ways of the world. These nations and how they operated was far beyond how we do nowadays. That King Nebuchadnezzar wanted you dead. You was dead in accordance with their law, but not in accordance with God's. In verse 19, it tells us that Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach. He's furious. People will be furious with us. We need to stand, no matter what may come to our lives, we need to right now purpose in our heart. The Bible tells us those who are faithful in few will be faithful in much. It was a test for Daniel and his friends when they first got to Babylon. Were they going to defile themselves with the pagan worship and the wine, or were they going to stay holy for the Lord, set apart for him? They were faithful in few things, therefore they were faithful in much. They were faithful in much down the road. Be faithful in few. Be faithful where God's put you. Be faithful no matter what's coming in your life, in the few and the smallest things, and God will show forth faithfulness, and you too will be trained in faithfulness. Renewing our mind according to the Word, God wants to change how we think. Instead of fixed on our problems and down here below, but fixed on him. If we focus on ourselves, we'll be depressed. If we focus on the world, we'll be distressed. If we focus on God, we'll be at peace. I love that quote that Corrie Ten Boom lady, she was a Holocaust survivor. She said that, and it's so true. Focus on the Lord, we can have peace. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He wasn't merciful. If you'll just go bow down to it, it'll be all right. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army. These are the strong men. Tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Whatever they had on, they was thrown in there. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine a fire so hot that it burned them people that threw them in there? And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we had tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Oh, the son of God. Praise God for that." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come out here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the straps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them, and they saw the fire and had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Praise God. They didn't even smell like smoke. Everybody else in half the kingdom probably smelled like smoke being near such a hot fire, but they didn't even smell like it because Jesus was in there with them. No matter what trial we may come down here below, if we'll purpose in our heart that we will serve the Lord, if we'll stay faithful to the Lord, Jesus, the Son of God, was in there in that fire with them. He will be with us. The Bible says, "The Lord thy God is with you wherever thou goest." Stay firm on the Word of God. Stay truthful and faithful to Him. Stay true to Him no matter what may come in this world. And He will be there with you, and His faithfulness will be there with you for all eternity. Praise God for that He's faithful. We saw these young men. It's amazing. They say Daniel was between 14 and 18 years old when he was taken to Babylon. You don't have to be old to serve the Lord. We don't have to be old to worship God. But we can faithfully worship Him wherever we go, however old we are. Let's purpose in our hearts to do that today and be faithful today, so whatever may come down our lives, we'll be found faithful at Christ's coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your word. Lord, help us to hide in our hearts that we may not sin against You, Lord, that we can truly be faithful to You no matter what may come. And here below, we thank You for, as Hebrews tells us, the great cloud of witnesses that has passed before us, Lord. And these four men that was passed before us, Lord, we'll meet someday in heaven. We thank You, Lord, for their witness. That in the midst of unfaithfulness, in the midst of pagan and wicked ways of the world, Lord, You stood with them and they stood with You. Help us, Father, to do that very same thing. Oh, that You placed us in this time for a reason, Lord. That we're here for a reason. Help us to be Your witness to this world every day. Thank You for Your love. Most of all, thank You for Jesus. In Jesus' name, that name above all names, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you go with me, we'll do our closing hymn. It'll be the church hymn on page 120. Victory in Jesus. That's the victory we have every day through Him.